Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the five niyamas or observances in Kriya Yoga, which are purification, austerity, contentment, sacred study, and attunement to the absolute. In this show, we will explain why change oftentimes doesn't go deep enough and how true spiritual transformation does. Listen as we integrate the teachings of Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy's Divine Science with the practices and process of the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience divine truth. So Swami, I see the title of today's show is Operation of Niyamas in Spiritual Science. Well, could you first explain to us what exactly are niyamas?
Yeah, the niyamas are the second stage of the spiritual science of yoga. The first stage is yama, which means control. The niyamas are the observances. And as we know, yoga is a practice to initiate a process. And these practices have very specific intention. And the reason why I wanted to focus on the niyamas was because of the application of things like purity and austerity and contentment, sacred study and attunement to the absolute, because they dovetail very well with the teachings of Mary Baker Eddy in her Discovery of Christian Science. And from my experience, I found that yoga really lays it out, I want to say, in a little bit more detailed, organized fashion than I got from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, because you're really left to your own devices, whereas yoga, it's very specific. You're employing skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, even skillful use of exercise. And all of this, for me, came under the heading of what Mary Baker Eddy called educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. And here in Kriya Yoga, we have sacred study or self-study. In the practice and process of yoga, you see that it's organic. The idea of sacred study isn't just academic and intellectual, because then it graduates into attunement to the absolute. So you want to go from thinking, working with your material senses, and then in yoga we go from pranayama to pratyahara to dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, which again is a process. You have an exercise, a breathing exercise that is experienced at a different level of consciousness and a different degree of awareness. Self-study or sacred study, when it is graduated into attunement, this idea of becoming one with the divine, is the intention and the goal of this practice, as was the intention of Christianity.
So Swami, what I'd like to do is talk more in detail about those niyamas. But before we do that, your website, www.ipdtransform.com, is a pretty extensive site. I was wondering if you could tell our listeners how they would get to the information that we're going to discuss today.
Yeah, if you go to the website and you go to the menu and you scroll over or down to Kriya Yoga. If you click that on, that will give you a description of Kriya Yoga. But then there's another drop-down menu that gives you the process And then, of course, that has a drop-down menu that gives you a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion. But in that same drop-down menu, you also have yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. And they all break off into pages that will give you a brief description of what each of these means to us.
Okay, great. So can we start out by talking about purification? What do you mean by that? And what are some of the examples of it that we can employ every day?
Yeah, purification. And in Kriya Yoga, everything is what Kriyananda used to call thrice compounded, that everything is happening on three different levels simultaneously. And that was something that I also noticed in Mary Baker Eddy's work, her process of going from belief to faith to understanding. She also, on page 115 in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, she gives us the scientific translation of immortal mind, and then breaks it down into the first degree, second degree, and third degree. Now, purification in Kriya Yoga is on a physical level, which means that we must purify ourselves physically. We have to let go of all of the things that are producing cravings and disturbances. And so we work with the effects of food on the physical body, how that's going to affect how you think, how you feel, how you perform. And so yoga has a very specific diet that we recommend. And your primary source of nourishment in yoga would be foods that get their nourishment from the sun, which for me seems to correspond with Genesis 1 in the Bible, where God recommends vegetables are our meat. Keeping in mind the goal of yoga is union with the divine. This is a process where first we must divide and conquer before we can unite and stand. We're trying to separate from our attachment to the physical world, things that are visible and tangible. So food becomes an important part of that. Purifying ourselves mentally. To purify thought means not only do we eliminate all the things that we are thinking about that do not point us in the direction of the divine creation, but also our ability to think, feel, say, and do one and the same thing. And then to purify ourselves spiritually, conceptually. We have to let go of all of the unnecessary human concepts, theories, beliefs that prevent us from realizing this truth that the only reality is the one perfect divine creation, and that this practice of purification is solely so that we can reflect the image of the divine idea. And then also we understand the relativity. There's an old Ben Franklin saying, "For the want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the platoon is lost. For the want of the platoon, the battle is lost. And for the want of the battle, the war is lost." So something as monumental as the loss of a war, you trace back to something as insignificant as the loss of a nail on a shoe. And so the same is true with human development, that if we are not orderly and faithful with the objects of sense to the extent that requires purification, doesn't mean just moderation. It means to purify. We have to let go of our belief in the mind-body complex completely. At the same time, that enables us to invite the divine creation into our awareness. And that's a very significant process that we call in yoga apotheosis.
Swami, you did talk about food, having to purify our bodies by the use of food, but food is such a huge part of our lives. It's on the TV and every other commercial has to do with food and drink. Can you give us some ideas how we can overcome that?
Well, when you're starting with a physical body, you recognize that your body has needs. And then these needs are in a hierarchy of importance. If you analyze that, food is really your number four life-sustaining force. The way that we gauge the importance of a life-sustaining force is how long does it appear that I can live without it? Because you can live weeks without food. You can live days without water. You can live minutes without air. But without the grace of God, we expire immediately. When you're establishing your values, you want to purify your values and put everything in its order of importance. The language we use is put God first. If you have your number one need in its position of importance, that creates an opportunity. But if you are looking for even number two, life-sustaining force number two, which is breath, and breath becomes pretty important, but the change won't go deep enough. And that's what we talked about in the opening. In order for us to transform, we really have to internalize spirit as your symbol for validation. Because what is driving need is the false sense of existence. It is fear. And what we have learned, the easiest way to come out from any unnecessary dependency is to substitute. But the secret of substitution is to substitute your necessary for your unnecessary. Because anytime you put a lesser God in position of importance of a greater God, it creates this failure force. And it keeps us in this cycle of death and rebirth. But if we have established skillful use of thought, and we are using what is invisible and intangible to validate ourselves, then it creates that opportunity that we can begin to move forward with purification. Yeah, because in this practice of purification, what most of us do is we abstain. We give up foods that produce cravings, or we give up whatever it is we are addicted to is becoming a barrier for me to grow psychologically and spiritually. And so we really don't recommend abstaining, but we do recommend substituting. Start using what you need to produce the feeling that you're happy. In this practice, there's a direct relationship between life-sustaining force number one, thought, and life-sustaining force number two, breath. And that relationship is the duration of a breath equals the duration of a thought. By controlling your breathing, you can control your rate of thinking. The thing that it doesn't control is the content of your thought. And if you can start to think right, you can start to elevate the presence of the divine creation in its position of importance that it warrants in your value system, so that you are no longer turning to what is visible and tangible or invisible but tangible for validation anymore, because that's what creates the failure force. You're drawing from the wrong energy field. Or in the Bible, you're eating the fruit from the wrong tree. And in yoga, they call that avidya. You're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. If you can train your mind to serve spirit and then internalize that as your symbol for validation, then it's really not a struggle for you to purify. In fact, you're indulging yourself.
Swami, getting back to thoughts, how do we know if we're having impure thoughts?
Impure thoughts would be thoughts appearing in your material senses. And pure thoughts would be that which would be invisible and intangible to your material senses. Here we want to sow to the spirit and not to the flesh.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality.
It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, it looks like the next niyama we should be talking about is austerity. What does that mean, and how do we employ that?
Yeah, in Kriya Yoga, that's what they call tapas, discipline. We employ strategies like skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, skillful use of exercise. And it's primarily there designed to develop the psychological organs, willpower. And what's interesting about that is in Christian Science, in Mary Baker Eddy's teachings, she talks about the obstruction of human will. And so again, in yoga, it's organic, but we have to divide and conquer before we can unite and stand, that you really have to develop this personal sense of I before you can actually sacrifice and give that up for this impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood. And so again, we're enlisting strategies like fasting or adherence to an exercise program. And all of this develops your psychological organs, but it's not a goal. You don't want to develop personal will so that now you're going to muscle your way through the rest of your life. You're developing this so that you have something you can surrender personal sense for the betterment of a greater whole. Because as our identity goes from physical, where we're driven by fear, instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, we want to graduate to mental identity, where we can be intelligent, no longer reacting to the testimony of our senses. But at the same time, it's not the goal. We're developing capabilities so that we can go to the next stage. When we go from physical identity to mental identity and eventually to spiritual identity, that's the process. And everything that we're doing here is about initiating this process.
So earlier when you were talking about austerity, do we have to really understand if it's God's will or our will to be able to do the things you were talking about?
For me, I think the major difference between my will and God's will is that if I do something under my own personal volition, I can do it for good or evil or bad. But if I am under the jurisdiction of divine will, whatever it is that I do can only be done for absolute goodness in the truth of being.
So, Swami, can you give us an idea of what we need to know about contentment, the next niyama?
Yeah, as personal identity shifts from physical to mental and then eventually to spiritual identity, you understand that spirit has no need. As you identify with spirit, there isn't anything that ever needs to be done. So we rest, we watch, we let. And in the framework of the yoga practice, it's the effortful work of concentration becomes the effortless flow state of meditation. We forsake our human modes of thinking for this divine knowing, knowing of the truth. Life is perfect, it's whole, it's complete. And then we let, we rest.
So I know we have two more to talk about. We've talked about purification, austerity, and contentment so far. Is there a particular order that we do these things? Because to me, purification seems to be kind of like the jumping off point for all the other ones. It seems like that's the foundation.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it comes down to doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. Spiritual science is an exact science. If you do not know the truth, if you do not purify yourself physically, mentally, conceptually, then the term in yoga is called avidya, ignorance. We miss the mark. And everything is going to be in proportion to your understanding of this truth. There's only one God, there's only one truth, there's only one religion, there's only one yoga. Everything else was what they called a sin. It misses the mark.
So we've talked before about this verse that Jesus says, take no thought for what you shall eat or how you shall be clothed. And so my question to you is, if we get to that point where we take no thought of those things, are we in that position that we have purified ourselves?
It's very important to understand that there's no power in the conduct. There's no power in this concept of take no thought if you don't understand what Jesus was referring to here. Because when he's saying take no thought, he's really saying that we stop thinking with our material senses, but at the same time, we must know the truth. And the truth is, I am one with the divine creative principle. In that unity with the divine creative principle comes the power of the divine. But if I am still working from that level of mortal sense, and I'm separate from the divine creative principle, but I am purifying my physical body, there's really not much benefit in that. And so when we say stop thinking and start knowing, it's very important that you know the truth. You don't just stop thinking or denying the testimony of your material senses. We want to affirm the truth. The testing ground of that is, what am I externalizing? What is appearing in my material senses? Because if I am conscious of the divine creative principle, then I must be externalizing the qualities of that divine creative principle.
And then that's what gets us to that point of contentment.
That, to me, would be true contentment, yes.
Okay, great. So, Swami, the next niyama that I think we should spend a little bit of time on is sacred study. What does that look like?
Yeah, I really like the term that Mary Baker Eddy uses, educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. Filling our thought with divine idea, making our thought buoyant so that we can start to rise out of the belief in matter and mind, out of the belief in the many, into the understanding of life as one, one perfect divine life, eternal life. And so a big part of that is filling your thought with wisdom, information, scriptures that will point you in the right direction. Also, a big part of this is in our silence and in our stillness, we are starting to activate our spiritual senses, getting our instruction from within, from this inner spiritual light dawning on our consciousness. But again, we're filling our thought with the divine idea. It's the physics of spirituality. Like attracts like. If you want to siphon water out of a container and you have a hose, you must fill that hose with the water. And so in a similar way, we want to fill our consciousness with the divine idea.
Do you have any recommendations as to what we should be reading or listening to for sacred study?
Well, what I use are these radio shows primarily. I mean, there's plenty of really good information out there, and then there's a lot of garbage out there. So I stay with scripture, stay with the Bible. Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, I think, is possibly the best book I've ever read for this. Practicing a traditional metaphysical or mystical system, I think, is very important. Joel Goldsmith's work. Herb Fitch, that's really good information. I stay away from people like Eckhart Tolle and those that really don't put healing on the table anymore, because you're getting human advice, and spirit testifies with deeds. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. So you read a little bit, but then you must start to prove the presence of this divine creation.
Okay, and it looks like we're on to the last of the niyamas, attunement to the absolute. What is it that you would like our listeners to know about that?
Yeah, for me, attunement to the absolute, Ishva Pranidhana in Kriya Yoga, is the Christian concept of I and the Father are one. We have now purified ourselves and we are proving these practices. And then at this point, we surrender to the divine will. And we don't do that with the mind we've been using to get us through this lifetime. We do this by harmonizing the mind-body complex to the divine creation. We graduate from material sense to spiritual sense. We know in the soul. And then we live and move and have our being from this soul sense of awareness. Material sense works in the rational. It works in duality, on contrast. It has a belief in two powers. But divine mind is in the absolute. It works in the realms of wholeness, the one. We don't think we are spiritual. We know or realize spirit. And we know in the soul, not in the mind.
So, Swami, that brings me to another question. I know I've asked you this before in other shows. How would we know divine mind is conscious of itself as us or as me?
Yeah, when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. Principle and idea are understood as one God and its idea. Purity means to see God and only God, think God and only God, control your thoughts by loving God and only God, to desire God and know what this really means. Consciousness is experience. So we use what is appearing in our material senses, what we're externalizing, to give me clues as to what am I conscious of. And another thing I really like to use is scripture. Say, for example, like James 4:4. I'll read it. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. End of quote. So again, do I sow to the flesh or do I sow to the spirit? Do I love God or do I love my human concept of God? And like you say, how would I know the difference? Well, spirit is a demonstrable principle. If you know the divine creative principle, then you must be externalizing the fruits of the spirit.
Swami, would you read for us what is written on your website about the niyamas?
Sure. Niyamas are the observances defined as purification, contentment, austerity, sacred study, and attunement to the absolute. Greater human potential isn't magic, it's physics. Like attracts like, and two things can occupy the same space at the same time. When we incarnate, we draw from matter and mind, which is fear and limitation. We must purify ourselves from the unnecessary dependencies and then replace them with spirit, which is truth and wholeness. If we draw from fear and limitation, we become fear and limitation. If we draw from truth and wholeness, we become spirit. That's the end of the quote. And I would say, like divine science taught by Mary Baker Eddy, Kriya Yoga is practices to initiate a process which is an unfolding or revealing or expansion of awareness beyond the limits of matter and mind or particles and waves into the allness of spirit, the one perfect divine life.
So with that, we're going to close our program for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And again, on the homepage, when you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, if you click that, that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then by clicking on the Products tab and Online Classes, that will direct you to all the classes that Swami has available. So with that, Swami, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and experience divine truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste. Mm-hmm.